Det var människor som frågade vilket slags jobb jag har. Jag sa det, jag jobbar i ölindustri. Then I decided that I'm not preaching in Sweden anymore. Swedish anymore. Yeah, I was working in oil industry. So it was close enough in my mind. So. Yeah. 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 Oh boy. Yeah, we have been going through the Book of Romans in Turku Church, and it took 39 classes to go through the Book of Romans. So it took some time, but I really thought that it was worthwhile doing like a good study in that book. And just want, I'm sure you all know the Book of Romans pretty well, but just want to remind, like, the starting point of the book, that the church in Rome that Paul never had visited, but there were many people that he knew from other churches. We can see it from in the end of the book when he's kind of greeting many people. But anyways, so the church in Rome was originally like Jewish Christians, and then the Caesar Claudius, you know, took all the Jews away from Rome because for whatever political reason. But anyways, then the non-Jewish Christians were in the church, and it took some years. Of course, the leadership, the pastors, you know, they were working there, and the church was, of course, a little bit different from the original one. Then, a few years later, the Jews were allowed to come back, and the Christians that left the church came back, and they found a different kind of church than they left. And it's kind of natural thing that there were some discussions inside the church, and if you read the Book of Romans, so in the beginning Paul is kind of reminding, what good does it do to you if you are a Jew? And he comes to the conclusion, nothing. We are children of God. And then he comes to pagans. Pagans speaks about us. I mean, people, believers, but not non-Jewish believers. So the word pagan is used there, but it doesn't not mean people who are ungodly, but there are people who are not Jews. So, and he asked, you know, what good does it do if you are not a Jew? And he went through many things and said, it doesn't help you at all. It doesn't take you down. It doesn't take you up. You are children of God like these other people. So live together. And he went through, that's why the Book of Romans is so important for us, because Paul is like piece by piece building that, who are we in Christ? He's kind of giving the basics again, and kind of deepening it with the Old Testament references, and he's doing like pretty good job kind of building the foundation of Christianity. And then when we come to the chapter 12, Paul is kind of speaking to all believers and giving kind of general ideas how to live a Christian life. And course, like he had been teaching before, when we are saved, so we know that we are going to heaven, and we have a right to rejoice about that, even if we have never been doing church services or this and that. You know, it's not the question of what I do, but who I am in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is the whole this part of the book, from chapter 12 to 15, it gives like some kind of guidelines how to live Christian life. There are many things he's speaking about there. And earlier he has been speaking about sanctification and you know all the major things. The end of chapter 8 is like a victory shout. You know, that's when I feel down, I read those verses. Yeah. So but he's now speaking about how the Holy Spirit is teaching us. You know, we just had the day of Pentecost, and we were kind of celebrating when the Holy Spirit was given to the world. I first thought of speaking on that topic, but I just wanted to go through these few verses here. Yeah, now the things he's saying in chapter 12 are for us who have been, you know, saved by grace. You know, that we have been given the Holy Spirit. We know that we are children of God. We know who we are in Christ. Yeah, and he has been speaking several times over the book about how we have died with Christ, and we have resurrected. We have becoming alive again, meaning that life without God is death. Not physical death, but it's spiritual death. And if we die with Christ, we are also resurrected. We are given a new life. And and he's here is kind of important to see the motive. A Christian is not doing good things to be saved or to be accepted by God, but because he's accepted by God, he wants to work with his people, you know. Share the life, fellowship, you know, the faith with God. You know, we have millions of ways of doing that. Some people love to evangelize, you know. It doesn't classify anything. Yeah, and it's kind of important for us, because sometimes we hear that if you become a Christian, then you have to live a certain way. And you know, that's really not the truth. Sometimes even I put myself some demandment, how my speech, my thoughts, or even how I'm wearing clothes, what kind of clothing I have, you know, this kind of outside signals about being a Christian. But that's something like a fake thing. I don't mean that we should all dress poorly, but wearing a suit, this would make you a good person. That's That's kind of thing that he wants to say, that we can't look at the outside. We have to see the heart of the person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Paul is not giving like instructions how to behave, because that would be another laws of Moses. You know, we would be reading them and following them. But he's not giving anything like this. He's saying that Christ has called us to liberty. Mm. And liberty means that the law is fulfilled in him. He said that no smallest dot from the law of Moses will be changed, but it will be fulfilled by his work. And I cannot fulfill the law. I cannot. Very many people have tried. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Paul is kind of guiding to like healthy thinking, like the healthy way of living with God, and this is kind of his focus, and he's kind of reminding some shortcuts that we like to take, and he said that, you know, shortcut doesn't take you short way you want to go. It's a detour. And he's not trying to put us in some box, but he's kind of guiding us to find my way with the Lord. You know, we are all different. Our structure of our soul is personal, and our personal God guides us in a personal way. Mm-hmm. No, you can't find a great way by imitating somebody. I can't live like Pastor Matti is living. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, but that's how he is living with God. Mm-hmm. And I and you and you and you, you have your way. Mm-hmm. If I think what kind of picture Bible is giving about Jesus and other Christians, you know, the disciples, the first group that was following Jesus, so they were like radical people. They were not the standard believers of that time. They were like very different, and like Jesus was never mocking how the service worked in the temple, or you know, so he kept the law of Moses holy, but how people were exploiting it, that was a thing that he really. But he was very, very strict. So Jesus was showing, you know, feelings, you know, happiness, even anger when he was cleaning the temple from the money laundry people. Mm-hmm. And he was crying for Jerusalem, so like, so it's allowed for us as a Christian to show emotions, you know, walk with Lord in the things that he's giving to me. And if we think about Paul, so he was causing some riots. Even in the book of Acts, we saw that the Roman soldiers were like carrying it away from the people, and you know, and it was not because he was some kind of strange person, but he was walking the way God gave him. So in the Bible we can't find anything that the Christian should be a certain kind of person or certain kind of clothing or certain kind of words we say. It's saying that we are all individuals that walk with with the Lord, and we work in this life, we react to things that we meet, something that is typical to us. And the typical thing is that when something suddenly happens, we react so-called in the flesh, the same way than anybody. But you know, after that, we turn our minds to God, and you know, because for people who are dead, I mean, living without God, there are kind of three kinds of things happening to them. Things that are for them, that are against them, and that are neutral. For us Christians, after the reaction in the flesh, we see that, okay, I didn't want this, but I'll take it from the hand of God. It's meant for me. I need this somehow. You know, and that's why only good things are happening. Because we can't see the whole picture. Yeah. I would like to give God good advice to give me €1 million on the lottery. He knows better. He knows better. So we kind of one point in my Christian life is to take things from the hand of God. They are for me. They are all for me. They are not against me. Then in Romans 12, chapter 1, Paul is saying that, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is what Paul is here speaking. He's kind of looking at us and giving an idea how it looks in my daily life that I'm a Christian. And as a follower of Jesus, I'm being called to give my life as a living sacrifice, like he's saying. It sounds like pretty dramatic and demanding thing. And it's not kind of idea of a natural man or a person without God in his life. Naturally man is religious and wants somehow in his life to practice religion. And what I mean with religion, something is like outside activity, something that is not coming from my heart. You understand that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with God, a personal relationship. And this is what Paul is speaking about. He's not speaking about going to mass or doing something or giving money. He's asking, who are you? Who is your Lord? Christianity is a living connection to God. Like internet connection. Yeah, it's fast and gives you a lot of things. But that's not a relationship. It gives you whatever somebody else has done. It doesn't ask what is my opinion. Relationship with God means that sometimes it's really good for me to shut my mouth and just receive. Like my prayer life, it's not kind of news kind of thing that I inform God about some things in my life or somebody else's life. That's not the case. He knows everything. But he wants to hear what I want to say. He wants to maybe give me new ideas. He wants me to talk to him, to have a dialogue. No, before I can talk, I should just listen. If we read how Jesus is praying, he always starts by praising the Father. He's praying for other people. In the last prayers in the Mount of Olives, we can hear him speaking some really personal things to God. That this is something that I don't want to do, but if it's your will thy will happen. No, that was like very humble way of approaching the Father. As a Christian, we are living all the time with the understanding that we are in front of God. You know, good days and bad days, especially the bad days, those we remember. Doesn't matter what happens, is it a good day or bad day, we are facing God. It's not the question where am I. Like when I'm in the church, I'm kind of focusing on God, but I'm also in front of God in my work, at home, you know, anywhere. It's not limited in time and place. Like my whole life would be serving the Lord, meaning listening to Him. And this is kind of little getting understanding what Paul is saying, that presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Like the question about separate good works, going to meetings, or, you know, not going to meetings, that is not the issue here. The issue is here that who is my God? Am I giving my life for Him? No, the natural thing is to keep some part of my life to myself. Mm-hmm. No, I give my life except those things. Mm. I give my thoughts except those things. I want to keep them and cherish them. But he's saying that he doesn't want like the best parts of us or bad parts. He wants all of it.
Mm. Amen.
That's why he's saying that give your body a living sacrifice, burnt offering, complete offering. Nothing is taken away. Mm. When he's speaking about living sacrifice, so living means like active life, finding new things, finding new things in the Word and in my life, understanding that things that I consider to be bad, they are actually good for me, because I needed them. You know, this yeah, we are growing a little garden in the backyard of our house. We have this size of paradise. and you know, the living things there, whatever we grow, you know, you cannot like, okay, this is your area, stay there. It won't. And that's because it's living. You really can't put it in the box, then it dies. So when we are living sacrifice, so we are actively looking God in our lives. We are not restricted in the place that I think I should be, but we are open for God to lead us in our life to something that didn't come into my mind, but it's something that God has planned for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange how you find out that your wonderful plan was not the one that God gave us. I remember we were here in Stockholm, how many, 3 years ago? Because I had in my heart that now we are selling our house, getting bank away from our life. We are ready to go to maybe Oman or somewhere, you know. And it was pretty good plan. Yeah, I thought, yeah, this is, yeah, God, please give me this. And, you know, against all odds, we sold the house in a few weeks. Everybody said that it will take a year or two. It take like 4 weeks. And we were here when I got the message that they had accepted and we have sold our house. And I said, okay, it looks like we have to go then. But it was pretty good plan. And then 2 weeks after that, it came like clear that I'm not going to Oman. I'm staying in Turku. I will be the pastor in the Turku church. And I was so angry at God. No, I was arguing with him a week. You know, no, I want to go to Oman. We sold the house for that. And then we were fasting, we were praying, we had the elders in our house, and you know, I just realized that, yes, the God had put in my heart to sell the house, get rid of the bank, to stay in Turku. And I really realized that, okay, I had a good plan, but it was not God's plan. He had another plan for me. You know, that always reminds me that it took a week's fight before I kind of gave up and said that, okay, this is your plan. And maybe we all meet these places in our lives sometimes. But this is what Paul is saying, that giving your life as a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. No, it's not easy, it's not straightforward, it's easy to say. But when something happens, the first thing we react in the flesh, we are against it, until we understand that this is the plan. It's so amazing when God is kind of making his plan to work out. Things fall into place like ding, ding, ding. And it's like no way of misunderstanding it. So, it's also saying that the sacrifice is holy. Holy is a little bit like scary word. Mm-hmm. You know, usually it doesn't mean anything good for me. It's He's saying that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. You remember in the Leviticus, Moses is writing a few times words of God, be holy because I'm holy. It's like a demanding thing. How can I be holy like God is holy? No way. Maybe somebody else, but not me. And holy means like separated to God. We have in Finland, in Finnish language, we have like many rivers and lakes called holy. Pyhäjoki, Pyhäjärvi. Like rivers, lakes, mountains, Pyhätunturi. And actually the original meaning of the word holy in Finnish language means like the border. It's separating areas or groups of people or something. So So the biblical meaning for the word holy, if it speaks something that we are facing, it means that it's separated to God and like acceptable to God. It speaks like I accept that I'm in my flesh, I'm not holy, but in Christ I'm holy. In Christ I am accepted. In Christ I am loved. In Christ I am holy. So the holiness of Christ has been placed over us. That means that we are not being becoming holy because we look good or do good things, but because Christ made it possible. He opened the veil to the Holy of Holies. You know, we are like as a picture, we are washed by the blood. And that means that we are white like snow. I realized talking to some people a few weeks ago that our language is completely different from the language of the world. if I use the words that I use in the church, I will not be understood. But it's important for us to understand not the only the picture, but what actually happened. Like we see the picture of sanctification, or we see the picture of redemption over and over in the Old Testament, time after time, in the sacrifices, in different feasts that we have in the Bible. We see how God is like working for us. He's kind of the book of Hosea is speaking about the robes of love, how they kind of invite us. They are not forcing us to come close, but the love is kind of inviting us. And that's really the only way to get us. We know whatever it is, if we have been forced to do that, we will fight it. But God is inviting us with love. And the picture in Book of Hosea about the robes of love, that's pretty nice. I like it. So, and it says here that this is our logical it's our logical service. It says in this reasonable service, but it says the word is logikos there. So if we know that God gave through blood of Christ the liberty to us, it's logical that I want to give my life for him. It says it makes sense, is Paul saying here. It's also logical in Paul's thinking that if we are saved by grace, we can give a witness about it to people. We can be his witness. it's I wasn't there, but I heard in Baku stories how they were evangelizing in Kazakhstan, handing out New Testaments in some place. I don't remember what it was, but there was an older man who said they gave him the New Testament and he gave it back. He said, "I don't need this. Give somebody who can read, because I can't read, so I don't need the book. But I'm watching your life to see what the book is teaching." Is that demanding? Yes, it is. But that's what Paul is saying. If we are his, we are his own also in the middle of unsaved people. Mm-hmm. Jesus was kind of asking in Matthew 25 that how we are meeting people who suffer, and he said that, you know, I was there. There were people who gave me food. There were people who gave me clothes. There were people who took care of my wounds. That's kind of Christian life. We are his in every situation. Yeah. The thing behind Paul's teaching here is that we have the old sin nature, and so did have the Romans. We all carry that. Don't deny it. we all carry our sin nature. And my sin nature is not rejoicing about Jesus, because he's shown my sin. It was interesting how Jesus was describing in the Last Supper that how he has to go so that the other like him can come. He was describing the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we discuss, people are asking, you know, I saw a dream, I got a vision about this and that. How do I know that it's from God? And this is kind of the Paul's answer. And what Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit always is pointing to Christ. If it's showing something else, then it is something else. But Holy Spirit always shows towards Christ. And it will never speak anything against what Bible is teaching, is never speaking anything against Christ. It's not speaking about the word of, against the word of God. It's always pointing that Christ is a solution. He is the one. I remember long time ago in Baltimore, there was this pastors who were counseling. So one of them had this note on his door. Maybe some of you have seen that Jesus is the answer. What is your problem? And it's, yeah, it's a good thing. So like in counseling, the idea is not to solve the problem of that person, because problems will be coming over and over. New problems come when you have a solution to one. But the idea is to get people connected with Jesus. Giving your body a living sacrifice. Understanding that all things are for me. I need this. I did not want it, but I need it. So Paul is kind of master in this, putting big things in a few words, kind of opening the eyes to see. Let's not speak about changing my thoughts the way world wants. That's what he's saying in the chat, in verse 2. We can see it happening. We can see it happening right now. Big worldwide churches are not anymore teaching the Word of God. I don't want to say any names, and I don't know them, but we can see that it's happening. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul is saying that, you know, the mikä se luopuminen oli? Well, the
yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's saying that it has to happen, that the world is giving up the word.
Mm.
He said it has to happen.
Mm.
Only then the Antichrist will be seen. So yeah, we see many things that are something that we don't want to see, but it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all told in the Bible. Well, we'll see difficult times. That is also a fact. When it's coming this year, 100 years from now, we don't know. It's coming. So that's why he's saying that the remnant, us, don't change your opinions with the world. Stay with the Bible. Keep the Word of God. That is our only protection.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only protection we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think rereading the whole chapter 12, it's great that Paul is giving like guidelines, idea,
mm-hmm.
how to live. Things that we will face, that we will be living in and in the midst of all these things. He is like interpreting what the Old Testament, what the Gospels are teaching. Kind of making them visible to us with these few words. And it's kind of comforting, because Paul is not saying that I must be holy like Jesus. He is saying, because Jesus is holy, I can be holy in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, it's typical for him, he makes first an impossible thing, and then he's kind of explaining how it happens, really. Just to get my attention. Living sacrifice, burn your life. And then he say, yes, Jesus gave his life already for me. Amen.
Amen.